All right, listen up. I know you probably weren't counting on the markets to give you the encouragement to stay awake this afternoon. And I'm telling you, outside of another rogue bid for cash cattle, there just wasn't much happening. But you know what is happening? What's happening is Davis and me and the TED spread. Let's get started.
Swept plains of Iowa via Farm Journal broadcast. This is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we wrap up the week with Ted Seifert from Zahner Ag Hedge. And in the final segment, I will update you the Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, yeah. Davis Michelson. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to go back and do this here real quick because I think we had just a touch of technical difficulty. Where are we reporting from this afternoon?
Wait a second. I couldn't. There you go. I changed windows. From deep beneath the sun-swept plains of Iowa. Gorgeous here in central Iowa today.
Yes. Yes, it is. Absolutely. We've got some beautiful weather going here today. They've got beautiful weather over in Illinois and parts of Indiana today, too. But
okay.
The sun is shining down on some lakes that weren't there yesterday.
Ooh, that's the thing.
That's part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those heavy rains that fell last night, creating some issues, creating some problems for a lot of guys. We're going to be looking at some potential replanting. Is it widespread? You know what? I don't have a really good answer for you. All I know is that if you've got a field underwater today, it stinks.
Yeah,
and there's
for sure.
There are plenty of guys that have got that problem here today. All right, well, man, here we are, the end of the week.
Yes, we're finally there. This from at White House. Operation Warp Speed is a massive scientific, industrial, and logistical endeavor, unlike anything our country has seen since the Manhattan Project. I don't even know what he's talking about there.
It's Operation Warp Speed.
Okay.
That's not enough for you to figure it out. What we're doing is we're going full speed ahead, going to figure out what we're going to get us a vaccine.
Okay.
We're going to get us therapeutics that work. We're going to put a medical end to this COVID crisis. That's what that means.
Okay. So we're putting COVID-19 on alert. In other words,
I think that's right.
I hit the wrong button there. It made them all go at once. Just all of a sudden. Wow. Learn something every day.
You know, it's okay if you're learning something new every day, but when you're experimenting with stuff like that, maybe let's do it before the show. Now's not the time? No. Well, you know what? It's worth a laugh, so yeah, I don't care. That's all good.
The studio audience loves it. Thanks, guys. Yeah. Thanks, you guys.
Not much happening in the grains today. Not much happening in the livestock when you get right down to it. I called it another rogue cash bid in the cattle market today. 120 traded down in Texas. I don't know how. I don't know why.
120. Wow.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But evidently it did. That's not going to set the – there's nothing setting the price in this market right now. Price discovery has left the building when we talk about what's going on in this cattle trade. So we're just kind of setting the price out there where they decide that it needs to be set on any given day. I guess that's how we're going to do it going forward. I don't know what that means for future trade. We're not going to talk about fundamentals in the when we get to the closes on cattle.
Okay.
Now, we can talk about what's going on in the cattle market during the show, but when you're doing the news, we're not going to give any fundamentals. We're just going to give where the market's closed because I don't think the fundamentals matter to it.
Okay. I can live with that for sure.
Okay. Yeah. 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 All right. Speaking of the news, should we find out what was moving markets around today?
Well, Chip, hard red winter wheat futures were able to shrug off early selling pressure to close higher after once again testing psychological support at the 450 level. July soft red wheat futures also spiked support at the $5 level for a second consecutive session. The most actively traded wheat contract is within a few cents of contract lows set in mid-March. Good growing conditions in many wheat exporting countries and a lack of support from the supply and demand report earlier this week limited buying interest in wheat futures heading into the end of the week. July hard red winter wheat was a half cent higher, 452 and a quarter. July soft red slipped 2 cents to $5.25. July spring wheat softened 1 1/2 cents to 518 even, Chip.
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought up that supply and demand report. We're going to talk about the S&D report with Ted Seifert coming up here in just a little bit. I want to get his take on it now that we've had a couple of days to digest the numbers that we got. And the report did nothing to support this wheat trade. I think it was the global numbers more than anything. On the week, July SRW wheat futures down 21 and three quarters. Ooh. July HRW wheat futures down 27 and three quarters. And July spring wheat futures down a dime. The spread difference there, I think, is just a little concern over whether or not we're going to get all of the intended spring wheat acres planted or not.
Chip corn futures found a way to climb out of a narrow trading range to close on the plus side of unchanged today. The trading range for the week was set on Tuesday when USDA released the supply and demand report. Since then, volatility drained out of corn futures trade. The market is establishing a wedge pattern on the daily chart, suggesting more lackluster trade early next week. Planting progress, crop conditions, and the weather forecast are likely to drive price action in corn futures next week. On the demand side, traders are watching for an even more active buying effort from China for U.S. corn, and traders will also be watching for increased demand from the ethanol industry in the weeks ahead. July corn futures were 1¾ cents higher, 319 and a quarter. September corn firmed a penny, 323. December corn closed at 332, up a quarter of a cent on the day today, Chip.
We'll get news before the next big surge in corn buying, I think. And what that's going to be is an increase in the quotas for corn moving into China. So we need to watch for that. And as soon as we get it, I would anticipate that China's going to be in buying more U.S. corn. It just feels like that's what's going on here right now. On the week, July corn was steady, dead steady.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
D's corn was down 3¾ cents.
Okay. Traders continue to focus on the flow of soybeans out of Brazil, with many of those shipments headed into China. Still, China was a noted buyer of U.S. beans this week. If China continues to make purchases of U.S. beans like it did in the first half, we'll be looking for an uptick in the old crop bean export forecast from USDA in the June supply and demand report. July bean futures were 1½ cents higher, 838.5. August beans firmed 1¾ to 840¾. November bean futures closed up 1¾ cents today.
Yeah, you cut out on us there, but real quick, the November beans closed at 845.5, up 1¾ cents. The Chinese business, obviously, we're going to be watching for that. That's going to be a big driver. But I think I want to keep a real close eye on the shipping situation out of Brazil. They're dealing with COVID-19 and some outbreaks and the dock workers. There could be some similarities between the dock workers and what we're seeing in slaughterhouses here in the U.S. So on the week, July beans down 12 cents. November beans off a dime.
Quickly, July cotton 40 points higher, 58.25. December cotton firmed 41 ticks to 58.17. And those livestock closes, June live cattle 287.5 higher, but 97 bucks even. August cattle firmed 82.5 cents, 97.82.5. August feeders were 2.5 cents higher, 131.07.5. And on the snout side, June lean hogs 87.5 higher to 57.87.5, and July hogs fell 105 to 57.75. Ongoing concerns over slaughter capacity there, Chip.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, the June live cattle on the week up $2.35. The August feeder cattle futures up $3.17.5. And June lean hogs, after a couple of weeks moving to the upside, June lean hogs down $3.82.5 on the week. All right, coming up next, Ted Spread, Ted Seifert, Zaner Egghedge, up next on AgriTalk. Everyone talks big yields, but Channel Seedsmen deliver advice that yields results. Every season, Channel Seedsmen match elite seed products with unmatched service and support to push the performance of every acre. That's why you can count on Channel for what you need to make the most of your season. You don't have to be a Channel customer to take advantage of this support. Visit channel.com/agritalk to sign up and receive expert advice that yields.
Quiet up, turn the noise down, let this old world.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
All right. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. That is Eric Church and Davis Michelson.
Double tap for hashtag AgriTalk.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can give us a call today, too. We've got the TED spread on, 855-482-5524. Let's bring him in here. Ted Seifert, Zaner Ag Hedge. How you doing, buddy?
I am great. It is Friday. Happy Friday, everyone. And, hey, it's been a while since both of us have been on at the same time. I'm enjoying this. This is going to be fun, man.
I was trying to remember. I think maybe the last time that we did this, I was sitting at the airport in Cedar Rapids. And you were the host and I was the guest. And it all depended on when my plane decided to actually board or not. Something like that.
Yes. No, wait, was that before or after Commodity Classic? Because we did catch part of one segment in Commodity Classic together, too.
That's right. That's right. That was quite a ways a while ago. I think
it seems like
years
ago.
Year. Yeah.
That was a different world.
I mean, exactly. Oh, it's a much different world than the last time we talked on the air, buddy. There's no doubt. No
what
doubt.
Did we do in San Antonio? Can we all just go back in San Antonio? Because I think we broke the whole world while we were down there.
See, people don't want I've talked to people about that, and they don't want to do that because a lot of people that I've talked to said, you know what, when I came back from San Antonio, I didn't feel good for about 10 days, and I wonder if I didn't come back with the COVID, and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, every time we talk about Commodity Classic, that's the conversation that comes up with me. So I don't want to go back to it.
If they're alive – and they had it.
Everything's good.
We're all good. You're immune, man. Get out there. Yeah. Go do something.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. You got plans? I mean, Illinois is still locked down, but.
Oh, boy. Yeah. No, it's. It's really frustrating because I'm watching all these other states open up and ours is seemingly locking down more and more. We get some token things like, hey, some of our parks might be opening at some point here sometime soon. We can order something from Best Buy and drive up to the curb and somebody will bring something out. But, you know, gyms are still closed. I can't get a haircut. I'm having to get a black market haircut here this afternoon from a friend's mom. Yep. Oh, yeah. 3:30. It's hush, hush. Don't tell anybody. But it's like
I don't think anybody listens to the show anyway, Ted. So you're pretty good. I think you're safe.
It's okay. But hopefully not El Presidente Pritzker out there or whatever. I'm going to bring my, you know, $30 cash and I got to put it in a white envelope and slip it under the door. And then I get to.
Does that include the tip? What are you doing for the tip?
Oh, I'm actually bringing a bottle of wine for the tip because, you know, we're all taking risks here.
We're all taking risks. You know, hey, it could turn into a barter community at some point, and that bottle of wine could be worth more than the $30, that's for sure.
You know, I thought about pork chops, but man, that's a big gift.
But now you're just showing how much of a high roller you are if you're talking about taking pork chops. You mentioned bacon. You mentioned bacon in this economy now, and whew. Yeah, you can really even do it.
I got 12 pounds of bacon in my freezer, so, you know, if it is the zombie apocalypse, I am ready.
Dude, you cannot say that on radio.
I'm going to have some house guests this weekend, I have a feeling.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be all kinds of targets on your place now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, yeah. All right, so are we going to get any baseball in this year?
Woo. I think so. I want to think so. You know, it might all be played in Arizona and Florida, but yeah, I want to think so. I really, really do. Are the players union and the owners, team owners, are we going to come to terms? Both of them, you know, I rarely say this, but I do actually in this specific case feel for the owners because of the revenue loss from ticket sales and everything like that. Yeah. You know, the players at this point said, hey, we had a deal before where if we play half a season, we get paid for half a season. Okay, but the revenues from the teams, if they have a half a season, isn't going to be what it would have been for half a normal season because you don't have the ticket sales. So, you know, players, take half a season minus 40%. That's not even splitting or that's not even the full loss of what the teams are losing. Right. I think that's a fair deal. Take it and let's. If they can't come to terms on that, they both look really terrible. If we can't play baseball this year, even though we figured out a way to do it, but we can't come to terms because of money. Man, what a black eye on baseball. You know, I'd hate to see that, and I hope that's not what it comes to.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We could use a little relief on the baseball front.
Yeah, man.
This year, everybody could. I mean, people that aren't baseball fans would be tuning in and watching baseball if they would start playing again. And then the next year and the year after that, they would finally say, you know what? Doggone it. Maybe we ought to go see the Royals play a game. I really enjoyed that when they came back and played in the summer of in the COVID summer.
It'd be great for baseball. Well, think about it. Baseball has really been consistently one of the things that we turn to in times of need. George Bush throwing out the first pitch at a Yankees Mets game, New York. When we reopened after September 11th, it's something that we look. It's a national pastime. It's something that makes us America. It's part of America, right? Yeah. So let's do that. Let's make it happen. I mean, come on, guys. You know, money.
I'm with you.
We're all struggling right now. It's but yes, bring back baseball. That'd be fantastic. Hey, you know what? Something that I think that hasn't got enough talk that was really big last weekend. We had a major sporting event happen last Saturday, and we did it with athletes that had been training for months. I mean, so it's not like they were just thrown in there together. And a lot of people watched that wouldn't normally watch, and that was UFC. And wow, that was really great to see. It felt normal again for at least a night when you have, guys beating each other badly, but you know, and so me and a few of my neighbors, social distancing in our garage, we hung TV up and tried to stay 6 feet apart and so on. And so had a couple adult beverages and we're betting $20 between the eight of us. But man, it felt like almost a normal Saturday night there. Cool. And I'd love to see that happening because, you know, we want more stuff like that. We really need to get back out there.
Well, Sunday afternoon's going to feel pretty usual again, except there NASCAR, won't be people in the crowd.
NASCAR, baby. Yeah.
NASCAR is back. Yeah,
that's great. You know, I mean, I'm biting my tongue because I don't want to go on a whole rant. But look, the whole point of this thing was to flatten the curve. And it seems to me we've done that. You know, we've built all these overflow hospitals. We've sent ships to New York and L.A. To prepare for this huge rush on hospitals that they weren't going to be able to handle. Well, we never even used them. We turned the third largest here in Chicago. We turned the third largest convention center in the world into an overflow COVID hospital that could handle 7,800 patients. Only three people ever went there, and it wasn't because hospitals were overflowing. It's because we had to test it to see if it worked out. Now the state of Illinois is arguing about who's going to pay to take it down. So why aren't we getting back out there? If the point was to flatten the curve, now is the time to get back out there during the summer months where we have better chances. Everybody has a better chance of beating it in the summer. Let's get back to work. Let's get back to moving around. Let's get back to the leisure and the things that we want to do to feel right as Americans again. At some point, we have to turn and face this, and now is the time, in my opinion. If we wait till September, October, you know, late in the summer, we're all at a disadvantage because of the season. Then we've got the flu problem on top of it, so hospitals are at a disadvantage. We create that spike in the curve that we've worked so hard to flatten out. It's counterproductive at this point. So
we worked so hard to flatten the curve. We worked so hard to flatten the curve. Now that we've done that, you can't switch gears and redefine and repurpose and say, nope, now we're going to wait for the cure. Yeah. You can't do that.
That was never the plan. And that isn't
right.
It's an unreasonable and an irrational course of action now at this point. And
so tell me, is the traffic in Chicago all pointed north to the Wisconsin border right now?
Wisconsin's not – well, yeah, okay, because of what happened.
Wisconsin opened up.
Yeah, right. It's interesting. Starting about a week ago, the traffic around here just kind of blew up. Now, it's not going into the city, but the traffic around the city is really – increased dramatically. I don't know where everybody's going. Maybe we're just going out for a drive, or if we're going to visit friends, houses, stuff like that. But I feel it around me. Like, we're starting to get out there, and I'm really starting to feel like it's going to be a situation where King Pritzker and Queen Lightfoot are trying to lock us down tighter. The people want to get out and start doing, you know, so there's this sort of ground swelling of a revolt happening here. I'm wondering if the National Guard's going to have to come in at some point, because I think Trump's on the side of the people, and you've got these Democratic, and I don't want to get too political, but the people that we've got in charge of the state of Illinois want to control us, and I don't know. It's going to end messily, I think.
All right, man. Great conversation so far here, Ted. You are not disappointing today, my friend. When we come back, we do need to talk markets. And we do need to talk some of the fundamentals in this market. I want to know, after a couple of days of digesting the S&Ds, what do you really take away as the spotlight? It's time for Pro Farmers Headline News, featuring some of the headlines ripped from Pro Farmers First Thing Today. Next week is a big one for China. The annual National People's Congress is the major focus of China watchers. Consultancy experts, and they expect the drought to limit Ukraine's grain exports in the year ahead. India has harvested a record-setting wheat crop. Germany plants less wheat in 2020. Acres are down about 7% from last year. The cotton AWP moves up, but it is still under the loan rate. 3 out of 4 U.S. small businesses have sought federal aid to cope with the fallout from COVID-19. Burr steps down after accused of trading stocks based on coronavirus intelligence. Check out all that ProFarmer has to offer by going to tryprofarmer.com. Sing it, Davis. Okay, never mind. Welcome
the best
back,
doctors in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
It's so weird that you interrupted you and I having a conversation. How does that happen?
I got a lot of irons in the fire, Chip. I can't tell you exactly how I do it. It's a trade secret, sir.
I have no idea how you were humming along to a perfectly good song and then all of a sudden started speaking as you were humming.
That's pretty impressive.
And the thing is, somebody should have said the opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily the opinions of Farm Journal Broadcast, our sponsors, or anybody else.
That part wasn't my fault. In fact, if you
want to not Joe's fault.
Not Joe's fault.
There he goes right now.
There we go. Well, we got the end of it anyway. Yeah. That's the word. It's nobody's fault if this thing goes horribly wrong. How's that? That's the disclaimer.
If it goes off the tracks, there's nobody to blame.
Failure is an orphan.
Failure is an orphan. That's right.
Let me recap these markets quick. We're with Ted Seifert on AgriTalk. We're July.
There we go. Thanks, guys.
We lost him.
Again, not my fault.
He's gone. He is
so wait, I'm back. I hit the space bar. Crikey. Can we start the show over?
It's Friday.
July hard red winter wheat a half cent higher, 452.25. July soft red off 2 cents, $5.25. July corn futures 1 3/4 higher, 3.19 1/4. Deese corn at 3.32, up 0.25 cents today. July soybean futures 1 1/2 cents higher, 8.38 1/2. November bean futures closed at 8.45 1/2, up 1 3/4 cents. July cotton 40 points higher, 58.25. June live cattle futures 287.5 higher, but $97 even. August feeders 2.5 cents higher, 131.07 1/2. And July hogs fell $1.05, 57.75. All right, you guys take a hold of this train here.
All right, we got it. Thank you, buddy. We're talking to Ted Seifert, Zahner Ag Hedge. Okay, you said one thing in the last segment, Ted, that I do want to go back to. So the traffic blew up. Well, we have seen fuel consumption increase. We've seen our ethanol production tick up. We've seen our ethanol stocks drop. This is all good news for the ethanol side of things.
It is. It's not the end of the road. We need a lot more recovery. But, you know, I'm going to say this. I see this longer term potentially being really good for the ethanol industry, because cheap gasoline, what does that do? You know, eventually the demand is
consumption.
Yeah, demand's going to come back. So the blend looks good. Now, at the same time, you've seen a lot of these oil companies that have shut in or shut in a fair amount of production. So I see the potential for a bit of an energy crunch coming. And ethanol might be a cheap solution to help fill that, not just domestically, but also when you look at other parts of the world, hey, ethanol might be a thing. I think it's going to be a lot easier to get the ethanol plants back online than a lot of the, at least the domestic oil producers, because they really want to see crude oil up and over $60. But what happens if we get crude oil up and over $60? All of a sudden, then things start to get more expensive again. But you've got cheap ethanol because we've got a lot of corn stocks. I don't know. I think ultimately that and the inflation that we're causing in the market by throwing trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars at the economy in order to try to stimulate this ourselves out of this. I don't know. Energy boom, ethanol included. I think that is a very real possibility in the next year or two.
Okay, very good. So go back to the supply and demand report that we got on Tuesday. Corn, soybeans, wheat, pick any market, any crop, any livestock you want. What was the real feature that stood out to you?
Well, it wasn't as bad for corn as what most were expecting. But surprisingly to me, all of my demand numbers and the USDA's demand numbers really lined up. The one thing that didn't line up for me in them was the old crop ending stocks. I'm increasing it more than, I'm increasing it 200 million bushels. So my beginning stocks are higher. But other than that, we're on the same page for what we're looking at for next year. Who knows? You know, who knows what happens between now and the end of this marketing year, for that matter? Who knows what happens next year? But I like the fact that they're fairly optimistic that exports come back, ethanol comes back, feed demand's still going to be there. Yeah. So that's great. But listen, everybody grab a chair, because Ted's once again bullish soybeans. Who saw that coming? But look at this. I mean, a 580 million bushel carryover for this year. Okay, I'm not gonna argue with them for adding the bushels back to the balance sheet.
Goes down now.
I think so too. Absolutely. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But even with that number, even with adding 100 million bushels to beginning stocks for next year, even at the 83.5 million acres, even at trendline yield, we're at a 405 million bushel carryover. To me, that seems rather tight, because there's a lot of things in my mind that could go really well for soybeans that could really tighten that balance sheet dramatically. And I would say we are dramatically underpriced for a 405 million bushel carryover potential going into a growing season, especially since I'm not so sure we're going to get that 83.5 million acres. A lot of people, and myself included, a month or so ago were saying, hey, 83.5. We're going to see a big shift out of corn acres. Corn's going to knock down to 95, 94, somewhere in that neighborhood. And we're going to see beans upwards of 85, 85.5 million acres. I don't know about that. When you get off to a really fast pace of planting like we've seen so far this year, we tend to get really close to that intention number for corn. Now, we might not get there this year because of issues that are happening. The guys in the Dakotas, I feel so bad for them. I mean, it's just problem after problem after problem. But honestly, I didn't think we'd see 180.5 million acres of combined row crops in the first place. That'd be a record. And this is not the climate where I would think we get a record number of row crop acres.
I agree. I agree with that.
I'm thinking somewhere more around the lines of 178 million. So to me, let's say we get 94.5, 95 million acres of corn, which, again, I would have argued with that a month ago. But after the fast start that we've gotten, I think that's where we end up. Okay. But I'm wondering if it's only 82, 83 million acres of soybeans. So right there, that already takes our ending stocks down at trendline yield down to, you know, a 350. And then what if we're a little bit below trend? Or what if China actually starts buying? And all of a sudden, we're at pipeline in soybeans, and we are way underpriced for something like that. So if a couple of things go well, which it's been pulling teeth to get anything to go well for the last few years, but there is definitely the setup for soybeans where something really interesting could happen. And that would do good things for the grain markets as a whole. Corn would follow to some extent. We'd have to see some feed rationing happening between meal and into corn. DDGs, hopefully we'll get involved with that as ethanol gets really going again, hopefully, you know. So I want to be optimistic. I really feel like this might be the worst thing that could possibly happen between I hesitate to say failing trade deal, but so far it feels like that. And COVID-19, complete shutdown, lockdown of our country. What else can we throw at it? And I don't want to tempt fate. Right.
Right. Here comes swooping in another black swan.
Yeah, well, we haven't just had a black swan or two. We've had a whole flock of black swans. I mean, what else? I don't know. But yes, I'm optimistic at this point. And for me, I look at that 405 million bushel projection for soybeans without the USDA being, in my opinion, overly aggressive on demand for next year. I think the potential is there for something to be really exciting for soybeans at some point. At the very least, I think we need to start adding some pretty significant weather premium going into the growing season for soybeans.
Okay. All right. The one thing, and this goes back to your initial comments about the S&Ds, and that's that increase in corn demand 1 year to the next. It's about a billion bushels.
Yeah.
The conversations that I've had, you know, offline, off the show with some analysts is they're just a little concerned that maybe a billion bushels more in corn demand 1 year to the next is too much to ask from the environment that we're in.
Yeah, and that's understandable. But consider the idea that bigger production usually brings more demand because of lower prices. My big thing is exports, right? We have a struggling South American crop. Or second season crop in Brazil. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to need to see some of those exports shift over to us. But on top of that, I think we put some very significant pressure on the dollar with everything we've just done here in the last few weeks. So I think we're going to be more competitively priced to the rest of the world. So those two things combined, I see a fair amount of upside potential in our exports. That's where I see the big chunk of that billion bushel increase. But I think for a number of reasons, I think ethanol has a road higher. Even if we have governors like Mr. Pritzker trying to keep states locked down, you're seeing this want to get back out there. I think when things do start to open up more, we're not going to be flying as much, but we're going to be driving a lot. The idea of road tripping again is going to be a very big thing. So I don't know. I'm optimistic. Yeah. I really don't think we're going to see a big cut in feed demand either. If anything, that'll start picking up.
Okay. One other word that you mentioned that I want to get to and get your take on it and what you're really thinking there, and that's inflation. Do you think that with the money that the Fed and the federal government has pumped into the economy, we still got to get some velocity behind it, though, Ted? That's what concerns me. Where's the push?
Yeah. So, you know, if you go back to like 2008, 2009, the last time we were just throwing stimulus at the market like crazy, the biggest thing there in a phrase, and it's not very PC, so if I'm not supposed to say this on radio, I'm sorry in advance. But, you know, we looked at the dollar as being the tallest midget in the room, meaning the rest of the world was doing the same thing. Yeah, I know.
Dirtiest shirt in the laundry, or cleanest shirt in the laundry.
That would have worked. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Okay, let
best
the Twitter
house, bad neighborhood.
Let the Twitter, yes, seriously, go for it. At the Ted spread, if you care. Yeah. But I don't see that as necessarily being the case this time around, because I feel like we are leading the world as far as throwing stimulus at the market. Okay. Secondly, when things do start to get better again, this wasn't caused by an economic downturn. We were really doing very well economically. I think we do start to get better fast, and that can create a lot of inflation very quickly.
Very good, man. Hey, you know what I'm looking forward to this weekend?
Haircuts and rum and coke?
Episode 9 and 10 of The Last Dance, man.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, man, you have a good weekend. Happy haircut day.
Woo, thanks, buddy. You guys have a great
All right, that's Ted Seifert, Zahner Egghead. We've got the Friday Farm Fuel and Fertilizer Report next.
This season, while work for you may have changed, our season is underway. American agriculture, farms on, for our family and yours.
Well, that makes me want to roll the windows down and go for a ride.
Yeah. I believe that's Johnny Rocket and the Pinstripes.
Nice.
Nah, I'm making that up. I have no idea.
Yeah.
And now the song is
that was fun.
It's over. That was fun.
That was a good conversation with Ted.
Yeah.
And we did cover some important ground there, talking about the inflation side of things and talking about how, you know, surprise, surprise, he was talking about how he was getting a little bullish again on soybeans. And Brian Grady, editor of Pro Farmer, made the point the other day, too. He said, don't forget, you know, the carryover at the end of the 2018-19 marketing year was over 900 million bushels. So mm-hmm. even though we're at 580 million bushels, up 100 million bushels from just last month on the 2019-20 carryover estimate for soybeans, the 580 is still a whole lot better than just over 900 million bushels. And now we're projected down to 405. I mean, come on, you got to stay with me. That's a good idea right there. I mean, that's a that's the way that we keep whittling away at that snowball. Do you whittle away at a snowball? Because I don't know if you can do that or not. Chipping away. We're chipping away at the snowball.
Chip away. Yes. You follow it with a magnifying glass in the sunshine is what you do. You melt it away.
It's either that or a flamethrower. One of the two.
Whoa,
all right,
now.
Get ready.
Easy
the
now.
Friday for Fuel and Fertilizer Report. Give me five, give me that which I desire.
Ooh, yeah. The Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report is a service of Pro Farmers Inputs Monitor. For weekly updated fuels and fertilizer prices from across the Midwest and in your crop district, visit profarmer.com. And now, Chip!
Stay with me, Davis. That's what that was. It was stay with me. It was Rod Stewart.
Come on, man. Yeah, I know. I completely
that sounded
dropped
awkward
that.
When I first said it that way, didn't it?
It did a little bit because your voice was like, stay with me, Davis.
I know.
You know, hey, it's and I'm not here to judge what you do in the privacy of your home, you know?
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Not a whole lot to talk
about
this week.
I'm going
to
be doing at the bar either, so, you know.
How long can we keep going like this? Because there's not much to report on the fuels and fertilizers. I guess if I'm pointing out the super interesting, farm diesel down another 7 cents. This week we're at a regional average of $1.53 per gallon right now. Where did that come from? Indiana down 52 cents, Michigan down 39 cents, Ohio slid 30 cents lower. Most other states in the 12 states that we survey were unchanged. No state, in fact, posted a higher farm diesel price this week. We talked about the distillate stocks. I got it in at the very tail end of last week's report. Distillate stocks have taken a major step to the upside, outside the top of the five-year average supply range now, after having been right at the very bottom when all of this started, you know, around February or so. On the week, national distillate stocks rose another 3.5 million barrels to 29.4 million barrels above the same time last year. And like I said, outside the top end of EIA's five-year average supply range. Interestingly, front month heating oil futures firmed 5 cents. Now, this is from the open. From last Friday's open to this morning's open, firmed just a nickel. Opened this morning at 94 cents. I don't have my markets page up in front of me. Maybe you can check that out. But translation, our farm diesel heating oil futures spread, you know, we watch the spreads, still is indicating near-term downside potential for retail farm diesel. Will we be able to see that? I think with distillate stocks on the rise, even with crude oil futures notching up, they're pushing, you know, close to $30 in the front end, you know, and we're at 94, 95, whatever-ish in the heating oil futures.
92.38 in the June. 92.38 in the June.
So we wound up setting back just a little bit on the day,
yep.
Which even, you know, levers more for the potential for lower farm diesel. Although, look, I'm not going to issue advice to go all in here. I'm not going to say that this is the bottom or it's not. Look, you can get cheap diesel now. If you need diesel, just buy some is what I would say. There's really no trick to it. There's no gamble to it at this point. You know, at $1.53 regionally, I've never seen a price like this. I mean, it.
But if the inflation does start to kick in, we talked with Sean Hackett,
yep,
financial advisor, earlier this week, and he was talking about inflation. Then Ted brings it up. If those inflationary pressures start to build, you better be ready to get some locked in.
Oh, yes. And, you know, I wrote a big long article about it and all my thoughts and stuff. And I did put in there, let's not get cocky, though. Let's not get complacent here. Let's not let it get away. So maybe, go out and buy a ton of diesel. I don't know. Measure your appetite for risk on that. Fertilizer prices mixed on the week, but get this, no fertilizer posted a price move greater than 99 cents per short ton on the week. Let me run these down. Anhydrous ammonia down 22 cents on the week, 506.58. DAP was up 67 cents, 423.66. MAP up 31 cents, 418.74. Potash down a dime, 356.88. UAN 28% is up 54 cents per short ton to 245.61 regionally. UAN 32% up 4 cents a short ton, 274.04. And here's urea leading gains up 99 cents per short ton to 388.09. All told, our nutrient composite index firmed 0.51 points to 541.02. That's about 100 points below the same time last year. Interesting to see. What's happening in these fertilizers, which is, you know, absolutely nothing since about the 1st of October. We've observed about a $17 range in anhydrous, which is a very narrow range for a product priced now at $5.10. So
gotcha.
Get to ProFarmer.com. Gotcha. Read what I wrote this week. Chip.
All right. Real quick. National Weather Service 6-10-day outlook, May 21st through the 25th. Above normal temperatures across the entire Corn Belt. We've got above normal precipitation expected in the central and northwestern production areas. We've got below normal precipitation expected in the eastern production areas. Guys, I am not exactly sure where we are in getting to the end of this crisis, but I do know that we are another week closer than we were last Friday at this time. So there are still plenty of challenges ahead that we must figure out how to overcome, and we are going to do that. There are still some conflicts standing in the way of that progress, and we are going to make that progress together. And it's going to be a lot easier to make that progress if we aren't fighting amongst ourselves.
Stay with
Find
me, Chip,
some
would
time
you?
To do exactly what you want to do this weekend. It is a small reward, but it's hard earned. Find Amen. A way to put some joy in your heart this weekend, guys. You've deserved it.